Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Hour number two of Josh and Swain. Thank you for being with us. I like this guy, by the way. Benedict Mathurin.
Yep. He's
a good player for Arizona. Tennessee fans saw him. He's in Knoxville. He is not afraid of the moment.
No, he was the only one that was doing anything for Arizona.
Yeah.
Only one balling.
He's got kind of a crazy man approach on the floor, which I love. He is not afraid of the spot.
He reminds me a lot of Kawhi Leonard. Long, athletic, offensively can make shots, but defensively athletic to be a good defender at the next level. And he's still growing. I mean, he's got to play multiple sports.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Canada. I like him a lot, man. He's built now for the NBA.
Yeah, that's true. Canada continues to produce some talent. The guy that went after him actually was Shaedon Sharpe, who went to Kentucky but didn't actually play this year. They went back-to-back in the draft. So Wiggins,
who played a big role. Yeah, good year for Canada.
Yeah, yep. So the Canadian team maybe in a couple years worth paying attention to.
Pour up some maple syrup. Pour some out for Canada.
There you go. Hey, raise a cup.
That's right.
Syrup cup. A couple of tweets to us. We'll mention this before we get back to the sports world. Brian and Jason understandably saying, hey, what about banana pudding here? That's the goat. I don't disagree, but I view it more as the overall dish. So you've got it all dressed up. You've got the vanilla wafers, all that stuff. I was just thinking the pudding itself in a cup and you got a spoon. I wouldn't put banana pudding number one in that regard. Once you dress it up and make it a dish, yeah, it becomes a top overall dessert topic. But yeah, just the cup. I just want the chocolate.
Yeah, my stomach just turned thinking about chocolate pudding.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I've never been a big chocolate milk or chocolate pudding fan.
Ooh, like chocolate milk.
No.
Good post workout.
I'm good. I'll take a vanilla workout shake over chocolate.
I would go vanilla in that regard before chocolate, though. Yeah. If we're going shake it up.
Yeah, I'm more of a savory guy than sweet anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm not a big fan of chocolate pudding and some of the sweets that, you know, we've talked about on the program.
All right. NBA draft last night, Kennedy Chandler. You can already go to the Who's Next conversation, ESPN with their 2023 mock draft with Julian Phillips getting top 20 love. Earlier in the week, Paul Biancardi from ESPN was on Sports Talk. He said potential lottery pick in the next year or two for Julian Phillips, but he would be next in the conversation as Kennedy Chandler went second round, not first, last night. Second round, 38th overall to the Spurs, traded to the Grizzlies. So he will play in his hometown. But Julian Phillips, he is more of the NBA makeup size-wise. He fits the description more than probably any of the guys the last few years. If Jaden Springer's 2 inches taller, he might have gone higher in the draft. Keon Johnson, if he had a better shot. Julian Phillips right now, I think, would project higher than the previous players at Tennessee when they arrived in Knoxville.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Kennedy not going in the first round is not anyone's fault.
Right.
You know how, like, something happens and it doesn't line up with what we expect? We have to point the finger at something and someone. Like, I've seen and heard folks try to point the finger at Rick Barnes. I was like, are you serious? Do you even know basketball? Even watch basketball? How is this on Rick Barnes?
Remember the scouting report from The Athletic this week actually cited Rick Barnes as a reason to buy Kennedy Chandler's stock.
It's like, well,
not sell.
Yeah, like Rick, last time I checked, and I know Rick has, you know, a grandson that's black, right? But last time I checked, Rick Barnes didn't have any, like, biological black kids. Like, he is not Kennedy's dad. So there's nothing Rick Barnes could have done to help Kennedy grow or be taller.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he did not get drafted as high as some other guys. Like, Kennedy is not 6'3 and above, and most of the players, if not all the players in the draft, were 6'3 and above. But one thing Kennedy can control is his leadership, his toughness, his health, and his jump shot, which is continuing to evolve. We've seen players enter the league not be able to shoot as well as they're shooting right now. Lonzo Ball Ja Morant. I mean, all you got to do is get in the gym, get with a shooting coach. Look at Grant Williams and his shooting coach. There's a shooting coach, goes by the name of Lethal Shooter. And working with Grant Williams turned Grant Williams into a 40% three-point shooter this season. So you can work on your shot. You can get better at that. No question in my mind that Kennedy Chandler will do that.
Tell me if I'm wrong here. Now, this did not affect how Kennedy Chandler is viewed by scouts or by NBA executives. But in terms of the conversation we're having in Knoxville or what fans thought would happen with Kennedy, so then you, when you see him go second round, you say, well, what happened? Remember when he arrived and when this past basketball season was starting up, we heard about comparisons of what Kennedy might be able to do at Tennessee. And he was being compared to point guards like Chris Paul and like Kyrie Irving. And my thought at the time was, whoa, whoa, whoa. Kennedy is a terrific player, terrific player. But Kyrie Irving was the number one pick in the NBA draft. He averaged 18.5 points per game as a rookie and was rookie of the year in the NBA. Chris Paul is one of the great point guards of all time. I thought at the time, why don't we slow down on how we compare Kennedy, because that creates this unfair expectation of how things are supposed to play out for him. He was terrific at Tennessee. I thought he was better than I expected as a freshman point guard in the SEC at Tennessee. But when you start to hear Kyrie Irving and Chris Paul, two of the great all-time players, I know about the off-court stuff, on the court skill level, you don't find too many players better than Kyrie. I thought that was unfair to Kennedy in terms of what maybe Tennessee fans would think would happen to him. So when he goes in the early part of the second round, makes it easier for fans to say, what happened? What happened with his development? I thought he was Kyrie, thought he was Chris Paul. These are the players that he's being compared to. I thought that was unfair at the time. Am I overthinking that?
No, I don't think you're overthinking it. I think you're underthinking it.
Okay.
Here's why. Whenever there's comparisons, and I remember, I'll use football as an example and then bring it back home. I remember when Eric Gray came on campus and I made the comparison to Alvin Kamara, you know, his skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefaced my comparison by saying, Alvin Kamara coming out of high school, going into his freshman year, that's the comparison to, equal to Eric Gray coming out of high school into his freshman year. It wasn't Eric Gray as a freshman coming to his senior year, to his freshman year, to all pro Alvin Kamara, because there's a difference. You have to make the comparison, I think, at the same time, at the same age. So in this case, with Kennedy Chandler, all right, Chris Paul coming out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 6'1 guard, who was also a five-star point guard, who was ranked top 15 overall, third at his position, undersized, pass-first point guard, can make open shots, leader, engine, tough, relentless, fearless. That's a comparison. Chris Paul coming out of high school versus Kennedy Chandler coming out of high school, not Kennedy Chandler coming out of high school and Chris Paul in his eighth season in the NBA. That's where I think people get confused, because
that's
like,
part of the issue.
Like, whoa, he hasn't done anything yet. Let's not make that comparison. No. When you look at Chris Paul coming out of high school, you go pull up his highlights or you go pull up some video from him and you see his game at that time, and then you compare it to Kennedy Chandler's game at this time, that's the comparison. And you see receivers or any type of athlete be compared to, you know, a current pro player or a player that's retired, go look at them at the time when you're making that comparison. So if you're comparing a high school kid, go look at see what that kid looked like in high school, that player looked like in high school. Don't compare a high school kid to a professional player, because, of course, the expectations will be unfair because he's a professional player or she's a professional player. I think you're underthinking it.
Yeah, see, part of my issue, though, is even if you go way back, Chris Paul was the fourth pick in the draft. Kyrie Irving was the number one pick in the draft.
But you got to go back before then. You got to go back to when they came out of high school.
Well, that's true, but if you're keeping I'm now bringing it to the draft. So if you're talking about just what they're going to do in college, I do think there are some, you know, like Kyrie didn't really play much because he got hurt that year, remember?
The Duke, yep.
Yeah, so he was one and done. But, you know, if Kyrie could have gone pro out of high school, or if he just sat out, let's say he went G League, whatever, doesn't matter. He's a number one pick in the draft type player. Kennedy was never that. And that's part of the issue. So before you even find out what they do in the league, which is difficult for people to separate in the first place, but Chris Paul was a top five pick. There is no scenario for Kennedy where he's a top five pick, I don't think.
Well, the game is different too.
Yeah, sure.
2003, wings were not valued like they are now.
Sure.
The game wasn't a three-point game like it was now. You had a point guard mm-hmm. who, all right, he's a point guard. Give him the ball. He's the one who brings it up in transition. He's the one who brings it up. He's going to call the play. That was, my goodness, that was 20 years ago when Chris Paul was in the class of 2003.
You're right, yeah.
But now,
your wing can bring it. Jimmy Butler can bring the ball up.
Draymond Green can bring the ball up and play point.
Jokic runs the point
exactly.
for the Denver Nuggets. He's 7 feet tall.
So the game is different.
Right.
And Kennedy's value is not as high as it was 20 years ago. His position is not as valued as it was 20 years ago.
But if you, you can't do this. If you say, you know who Kennedy reminds me of? Tyus Jones. Because people are going to be like, Tyus Jones?
Who the hell is Tyus Jones?
Tyus Jones helped Duke win a national title as a freshman point guard.
Pretty dang good.
He's actually who Kennedy's going to try to replace in Memphis.
And right? if he is Tyus Jones, that's good.
So I guess my point is it affects big picture, long-term expectations, which has nothing to do with Kennedy himself. Because you hear Chris Paul's name and you hear Kyrie Irving's name. But we do that all the time. Like, you know, Jabari Smith, the comparison is Kevin Durant. And maybe he will be. I mean, he's a top three pick. But Kevin Durant's also one of the great scorers of all time. The comparison for Chet Holmgren I saw on ESPN yesterday. Dirk Nowitzki, the first big-time seven-foot shooting white big man. So you just go with the best ever, and that's Chet. So now that's his expectation in Oklahoma City. So it even affects the top three guys, let alone the 38th pick in the draft.
I like the Kevin Durant comparison because, like, look at him coming out of
it may not be wrong.
D.C. going to Texas, and then Texas after 1 year to the NBA. Like, man, that's a really, really good comparison. But I don't compare Jabari Smith to MVP of the NBA and MVP final.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Durant. Like, no, that's when you lose people.
Right.
But when you compare Kevin Durant's game at the same age as Jabari Smith now, then okay.
Yeah. And by the way, we do this all the time. So if we can choose, like, middle of the pack guys, Tennessee signed a tight end several years ago who came on.
Is he and white? Asked,
he was.
Jason Witten.
No.
That's the next Jason Witten right there. He white. Tight end.
You're going down the right path.
Give him 82. That's Jason Witten.
You know who this player compared himself to? Who he tries to model his game after? Rob Gronkowski. So, okay. So the most physically impressive tight end of all time. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's just what we do. That's what we do. But it ends up affecting the conversation, I think, down the line if they don't end up reaching these wild heights that are expected.
I do appreciate you trying to temper expectations and, you know, make it fair, because most of the time it's unfair expectations and there's no way that a prospect or player is going to live up to it. So I do appreciate your effort in trying to make sure that it's fair.
Here's another one where if I, like, brought his name up as a comparison, people would say, what? If I said, yeah, Kennedy Chandler reminds me of DJ Augustine.
Oh, yeah.
People would be like, what? There's another Rick Barnes point guard. So TJ Ford's who's often brought up, right? DJ went to Texas as well.
Yeah,
he's had a long career in the NBA. He is 5'11", 183.
Still in the league.
Played with the Lakers this past year. If that career ends up happening for Kennedy Chandler, what a tremendous success that is.
Mom and dad can retire.
Let's pull up the salary chart.
Yeah.
Not to get into pockets, but I'll tell you, this has been a success. $56.8 million for DJ Augustine.
In his career?
If I'm Kennedy Chandler, sign me up.
Heck yeah. So I do like comparison, but I just want to make sure that it's done responsibly. That's all.
By the way, I try to model my career after Dan Patrick. We'll come back here on Josh and Swain. 656-9900 is the phone number. Jason Swain's here. I'm Josh Ward on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain right here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us. Will Shelton, GameDay on RockyTop.com, coming up here in the 1:30 segment. We'll see what he thinks about changes coming to Neyland Stadium. As here at the start of the hour, Swain, Tennessee has put out information on the Board of Trustees approving revised Neyland Stadium renovation plans.
Love it. Love it. The Vol letters two sets of those coming back. I know that was very, very important to a lot of our older fans. They remember some really big games played inside Neyland Stadium when those letters were a part of the stadium. But now we can create some new memories with two sets of those Vol letters as we move forward. It's big time money.
Big time.
Big time money. It costs money.
Yeah, so the information from UT, the various project scope adjustments from the 2017 plan of $180 million go to the revised plan of $288 million with goals including some of the stated goals: modernize fan and visitor experience, enhance amenities, and diversified seating options being available. The anticipated project completion date is fall 2026. And then some of the updates coming: stadium Wi-Fi, that is a constant either complaint or request if you're talking about the future. You mentioned the VOLS letters, restrooms under the gate 10 ramp, and a plaza area in the upper north plaza area activation. We'll add food and beverage services and new tiered seating. Some of the updates.
You could have stopped at the first one.
Wi-Fi.
You could have stopped right there. I was sold.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been weird to just do $180 million for Wi-Fi. But, hey, that's what I think fans have wanted the most out of everything, is to be able to have
I actually do wonder, service. Is the extra $100 million, is that to fix Wi-Fi? Because that can't be an easy project in that kind of building.
No, man. It's tough to be inside of a stadium, mm-hmm. and you're capturing some good moments, and you want to send a picture, you want to send a text, you want to maybe post something on social media, and you can't do it until after the game. You get that nice red icon next to your message.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
the bar that's hanging out there. It's 80%, 90% there.
That's annoying. I mean, it's 2022, so.
Wi-Fi in the press box has been quite reliable, I'll tell you that much.
Josh, no one cares. No one cares about you and your Wi-Fi in the press box. People who are sweating, cheering, giving their all, losing their voice, they want to be able to send messages. I mean, they just want to be able to text.
Mm-hmm.
Just text. They're not trying to watch Netflix or anything. They just want to be able to text. Now, hopefully, they'll be able to do it.
Yep. We'll give you some more details of what's coming up, but updates being released by the University of Tennessee with the Board of Trustees approving the adjusted plans for renovations for Neyland Stadium. We'll get to some of that. We'll talk Kennedy Chandler. We'll talk to Will Shelton of Game Day on RockyTop.com when we come back. 90 minutes to go here on Josh and Swain on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain right here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us. 90 minutes to go. Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock today. We go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to welcome to the show Will Shelton, Game Day on RockyTop.com. Will, thank you for the time as always. We've talked about Kennedy Chandler, did not go in the first round, did go to Memphis, which was a very much talked about team. Of course, his connection to Memphis and to Ja Morant. What did you think about that for Kennedy, the slide in the draft? What do you make of the conversation now, day removed, with Kennedy now part of the Grizzlies?
Yeah, I mean, there was when he didn't make it in the first round, at the start of the second round, which this is how the draft is supposed to work, there was a lot of you don't want him to go there happening there early in the second round. And so I'm really glad for his sake and just for Tennessee basketball fans in general, that he gets a good spot. We wrote this week just the value of guys getting on contenders, guys getting in roles where you might have a chance to see him make a rotation in the playoffs. And so not just Grant Williams, Josh Richardson carved out that role in Miami early in his career. Other times it's taken guys longer to get going, but he's got an opportunity there in Memphis to be a good fit. And I think that's what you want more than anything else. Tennessee has not had, probably since Allen Houston, Tennessee hasn't had a player that's been good enough to say, okay, this guy's going to come in and start right away and do all these things right away on a lottery team. But they have had success, Josh Richardson in the second round, but then also Grant Williams, and we'll see about Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, getting guys who can be rotation guys, and especially if you can get those guys where they can be on teams that are playing deep into the spring and early summer. That's really what you want. Now, I'll be curious to see. I mean, I think Eve Pons has a skill set to play in the NBA, but he doesn't have a skill set, or didn't have a skill set, to crack the Memphis rotation here last year. I think maybe he could crack some other rotations. So is Kennedy Chandler gonna get into some of that same conversation where he's got the NBA skill set, but he's on a really good team? So it can be a two sides of that coin there. But overall, I mean, I think going in, right, if you had said, hey, Kennedy Chandler's going to go to Memphis, we might have thought at 22 or 29, but ultimately that's got to be a result that he's happy with and hopefully everybody's happy with.
Will Shelton is with us, Game Day on RockyTop.com. Earlier in the week, we were talking about Julian Phillips' potential lottery pick. That was word from ESPN today, top 20 pick with their 2023 mock draft. And Swain pointed out something that I think a lot of fans would say, yes, 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 and that is wanting to see more postseason success with these guys. I think there's a strong connection with Kennedy Chandler, but maybe not as much with Keon or Jaden. How much is that now starting to creep up in the minds of Tennessee fans of, yeah, this is great, but we want to see more NCAA tournament success with all these exciting recruits that we're bringing in?
Yeah, same as anything, right? The more you do it, the more common it becomes. And so Josiah is a good example of this. Josiah Jordan James, the guy who, when his Tennessee career began, which is now, 5 years ago, when his career began, signing a player of that caliber was still such a new thing for Tennessee that we all kind of thought, all right, this guy's going to jump in right away and he'll solve some of these problems from, guys that are graduating or whatever the case may be. And it turns out he's had a really nice long Tennessee career with a chance really to put a cherry on top this upcoming year. So yeah, the one and done stuff is good. Tennessee, whether it's Phillips or somebody else down the line, we just haven't had the kind of one and done success where, Tennessee's been in on some of these guys, including the guy that was picked first last night. Tennessee was in the recruiting chase for him. So you've been around, but you haven't had a guy that really gives you that kind of star power, national audience every single night to watch him play. So I think that would be fun if we got a chance to see that. But certainly, no matter what, team success is ultimately what everybody wants to see. You'll find plenty of Tennessee basketball fans who still, probably all Tennessee basketball fans, who still remember the Bruce Pearl era so fondly. And that's an era that had C.J. Watson, right, wasn't even drafted. He came in through the G League or whatever it was called back then. At the start of that, Tobias was a one-and-done in Bruce's last year. In the middle, all those guys, those were not NBA draft pick guys, and yet they were able to create so many memories for Tennessee fans. And so obviously that's what's going to win the day at the end is, are you putting together a roster that can win in March? And I think that's exactly what Barnes and these guys are doing.
Sticking to Tennessee athletics, but shifting gears to another sport, Tennessee football, the stadium capacity of Neyland was announced yesterday, the new capacity number, which is 101,915. Does the capacity matter to you? If so, let us know.
I think it's fun to say you've still got a stadium that seats over 100,000 people. One thing that's really changed, and I remember this was part of the conversation when Tennessee played Ole Miss last fall, is Tennessee hasn't been selling out Neyland, even for really, really big games, in the last 3-4 years. Now, again, you got some COVID stuff in there, obviously, that is a factor. But I think this is right. Ole Miss was a sellout last year, but I think there were a few, like Georgia was maybe a hair short. So it's still not, it's not what it was. It's not whatever the capacity is where you've got a hard sellout every time you play Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, these kinds of teams, Alabama certainly. So because that's been the case, I think the capacity number is just kind of a smaller part of the conversation. Again, it's still fun to say, yeah, we've got a 100,000 seat stadium. And when it is full, as we saw in the Ole Miss game last year, that place rocks like anywhere else. Any other stadium in the country, you wouldn't put anybody above Neyland Stadium when it's full and when it's right. So I think staying above six figures is really nice. Tennessee needs to do the things that it can do on the field and off the field to build to more sellouts, more opportunities for those kinds of special nights that we almost saw in victory there against Ole Miss last fall.
Will Shelton, Game Day on RockyTop.com. A question that we've bounced around over the last couple of days, this upcoming football season, which position coach on Tennessee's football staff is under the most pressure for the 22 season? Which position would you go with there?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think Man, that's a good question. Willie Martinez, he's going to have what maybe is a good problem, which is you got a lot of veterans back there, guys that have been around. You've also got some younger talent, and you're trying to replace Theo Jackson, who I still think is one of the more underrated guys for what he was able to do for Tennessee last year. So I think he's a guy where if Tennessee early on, if they struggle, whether it's against Pittsburgh or against Florida, LSU giving up a lot of yards and a lot of plays over the top, that sort of thing, which, again, they're pretty good at bending and not breaking last year. But that's one where I could see fan conversation just because it's in the nature of fans. We always want to see the younger guys, the newer guys, that sort of thing. So how are they navigating veterans versus young guys back there? And I just think, too, you know, corner and safety, secondary positions are one where when it goes poorly for you, it's spectacular, right? Like, it's got a lot of attention on it if you're getting beat for a deep ball and those kinds of things, in ways in which if failures or deficiencies at linebacker or at trying to find the right rotation at running back and those kinds of things, that those weaknesses are maybe less visible if they're out there. So that's a really good question. I think overall Tennessee's, you got a good cohesive staff that's doing a good job. That's just one, that balance of vets versus new guys. I think that's a conversation that's kind of already in the atmosphere, and it'll be interesting to see if that sticks into the season this fall.
Jason Swain came up with the question, so I wish you hadn't acknowledged how good of a question you thought it was, but you're probably also right. It was a good question. GameDayOnRockyTop.com is the website. Will, what's going on there at the site for Tennessee fans to check out?
So lots of emotional roller coaster this week stuff for fans that follow recruiting, and I'm not the world leading recruiting expert by any means, but one thing we looked at on the history side of things this week, when people say Tennessee's got to have a top 10 class, okay, but is that a realistic expectation when Tennessee has not won, you know, 10 games, even 9 games here in a long time? So we went back and pulled the last 10 years of top 10 recruiting classes. That's 100 recruiting classes, 100 top 10 recruiting classes. Only 8 times in the last 10 years has a program signed a top 10 class without having a 10-plus win season in the 4 previous years. It's only happened twice in the last 6 years. Now, Butch Jones did this twice, so it's not impossible. It's not impossible to be done at Tennessee. But I still think at this point in time to say, well, we got to have a top 10 class, or you just can't skip steps in this process. You know, Tennessee's still going to have to do some winning on the field this fall to level themselves up in the entire conversation. So we looked at it. All that data is there on our website today. The two teams that did it, Texas in 2018 and Texas A&M, just before they went 9-1 in the COVID year. Tennessee does fit that profile, kind of traditional powers, lots of resources, that sort of stuff. But it was interesting, at least to me, to kind of look at that breakdown of can you recruit at an elite level before you win at an elite level? It's kind of that chicken and egg conversation. So we had a good time looking at that on our site today.
GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Hey, Will, thank you for the time as always. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, y'all.
Will Shelton joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
I am flattered that a guy from Farragut would copy my paper and put their name on it. So, hey, man, you can use that question all day long, man. I'm flattered. It's not mine. It's yours. It's one Josh and Swain. Just like one Tennessee, one Josh and Swain. So what's yours is mine. What's mine is yours, Josh.
So in this case, you got my back?
Everybody got their back.
You know, broken clocks, by the way, correct twice a day.
Yeah, correct. That is right. That is right. 101.915. That's something we have to get used to saying. We're so used to saying 102.455 because of the marketing that, you know, Butch Jones did when he was the head coach here. But, you know, a lot of people had some strong.
That one actually worked pretty well.
What, 102.455? Yeah, it worked. Not everything Butch did was mm-hmm. terrible. Some of it was. Half of it wasn't great, but some of it was good.
Yeah.
It really was. And I thought that was something that was good and caught on. But Tennessee fans have had strong opinions about stadium renovations and seats being taken out and, you know, being at that six-figure threshold. It's six-digit threshold of over 100,000. And I know how important that is to people. Personally, I just never really cared about it because I look at Georgia's threshold, look at Florida and Auburn's stadium capacity, and for me, it's all about the volume. Are you loud? If you're loud, that's your purpose. So you can have a bunch of people in the room, but if they're not cheering, they're not loud. So for me, it was all about fan experience. Are you giving the players opportunities to be successful? And are those players, while being successful, giving the fans enough reason to cheer? Because if you have 100,000 people or 150,000 people and you stink, no one's cheering for you.
Right.
So going back to...
And it's not going to be close to that number that it could be.
No.
The empty seats can't make any noise.
No, and stadium sizes right now, when you are building it from scratch, they're smaller. Mm-hmm. Seating is more comfortable. The fan experience is a priority. I look at, Tennessee, and I get how important, tradition is. It's very, very important, but it is also important to be able to adapt and change with the times. And I think that's what, we're doing here with the fan experience and putting more bigger seats into the stadium, taking out some other seats that will cause us not to be over that 102 threshold. Listen, I played in front of the largest crowd in Neyland Stadium history. 2004, it was 108,000 people. And I didn't know it was 108,000 people until like a year later. I didn't know how many people were at the Cal game in 06. And I mentioned those two games because it was loud. So when you think about some of the most memorable games, great atmospheres, you go by the volume, right? How loud it was. I couldn't hear myself think. I couldn't talk to the guy or the girl next to me. You don't say, I remember this game because it had a 102.455. No, you don't remember. You remember that game because it was loud.
Right. Oklahoma players who talk about how wild the atmosphere was at Neyland Stadium in 2015, it wasn't because of the number. You could have told those players it was 102,000 fans, 110,000 fans, or 90,000 fans. That's not what they would have remembered. They would have remembered the volume.
Exactly. The volume is what matters. It's the volume. So we may have some listeners that may disagree, and that's fine. It looks good to say 102,000, but I'm telling you right now, it ain't getting recruits. You ain't getting recruits just based on a number, unless you're talking about what you're going to pay them in NIL. So that's what matters.
That number and the jersey number, those are the numbers they care about.
That's what matters. And I'll go back even further to our conversation about some of the renovations. And, man, some big money spent.
Yeah. I tell you what, why don't we carry this conversation over with these renovation numbers?
Let's do it.
What's the give us the number again, 101-915? Is that the new number?
101-915.
Okay. You can figure that out. Three ones in there. It's easy to remember. We'll work on it. 101-915.
That's it.
Here on Josh and Swain. Our phone number, by the way, 656-9900, a number to know here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Josh Pate coming up at 2:30. We'll talk college football with him. What offseason is always what Josh Pate asks. We'll talk college football 2023 season coming up at 2:30. We've been talking about renovation changes. Changes are coming to Neyland Stadium. It's going to look good. It's going to take a lot of money, and we'll take some more time with everything. But they've heard your calls about Wi-Fi. Danny White knows about the Wi-Fi requests. They're going to come. That's the one. I don't know how you pull it off with that kind of ability. It's one thing. We're not talking about just getting a couple of mesh boosters here to increase the Wi-Fi in your home. It's a bit of a bigger task with Neyland, but they know how important that is to fans and the future of how fans are consuming the game. So that's a big part of it. You're going to have two sets of the VOLS letters, which I think fans are going to love to see at the stadium, and capacity changing as well.
Yeah, I love the letters. I know it's going to mean so much for so many people. Wi-Fi is important. I mean, you want engagement.
The way fans experience a game is different than it was 20 years ago, and I think that's obvious.
Yeah, you want engagement. You see that on social media all the time. You go look at the analytics from Tennessee baseball, football, basketball. Like, fans engage on Twitter, and you want your fans to be able to share their experiences. Like, it's one thing if you are Tennessee and you have, half a million followers, and you send out one tweet. Okay, that's cool. It goes to, that half a million followers and then a couple retweets. But if you have 100,000 people in the stands and everyone is sharing their experiences, it's going to reach more people. And Wi-Fi is important to help you be able to do that. Plus, it's 2022. They got Wi-Fis in grocery stores. That's more reliable than inside Neyland Stadium. So it's time to improve that. And if it costs a lot of money, then just costs a lot of money. You got to have that. I think it's very, very, very important. The renovation budget, it increased by $108 million. And facilities are important. They're important. Recruits talk about them. But I think if you are an athletic program, and I'll use Tennessee as an example, how much are you putting on facilities? Because it's 2022. It's not 2002.
Mm-hmm.
2002, there's only a few schools inside the SEC that had indoor 100-yard fields, and those schools stood out. Well, everybody has an indoor. Everyone has nice stadiums. Everyone has nice locker rooms and things like that. I know Tennessee is going through expanding the football complex and doing some things for our players and having some cool amenities so they won't feel like they need to leave. They can stay around more because if they're staying around more, they're probably getting some more work done. And if they get more work done, they're going to be a better player. If they're a better player, it's going to help Tennessee win. But I think there's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Do players care about being able to play PlayStation and basketball and having a cool juice bar, or do they want some money in their pockets? I can tell you right now, probably most of them want some money in their pockets through NIL.
Get their own juice if they get the money in their pocket.
So I think balance has to be in the forefront of a mind. I think facilities upgrades are important, but understand, have a pulse of what recruits are really looking for and what they want, because if you're blind to what they're looking for, then yeah, you'll have a bunch of nice stuff with a bunch of kids who can't play at this level enjoying that stuff. We need some good players too. So I think there's a balance.
We tweeted out info if you want to find a link to what we're talking about with renovation changes coming to Neyland Stadium. We're on Twitter at Josh and Swain. That's where we shared that info, at Josh and Swain. You can join us if you'd like to share your thoughts on changes coming to Neyland Stadium. 656-9900 is the phone number. What would you like to see over on the Hill? We'll discuss coming up. 1 hour to go here on Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.